107 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday as we're watching the approach of Michael into the Florida Panhandle. We will check in with our correspondent in Tallahassee. Our buddy Jeff Poore is going to check in just a second. We'll get, of course, some political talk, but also talk about the situation over there on that side of the storm. Let's talk about the latest with Michael, with staff meteorologist, tropical weather expert, Dr. Bill Williams. Good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
And bring us up to date now, because a lot of people went to bed last night and were thinking about a still intense, but a Category 3, and now they wake up to a Category 4. Michael.
Yeah, it's an intense storm and shows some signs of further strengthening before it reaches the coast early this afternoon. Winds are up to 145 miles per hour. Well, of course, you count on gusts another 10, 15, or 20 miles per hour more than that. It could strengthen a little bit when it reaches the coast, and it's going to produce a storm surge that could be anywhere from 9 to 13 feet from Panama City on over towards St. Mark's, south of Tallahassee. Panama City is a likely target, and right now we see the storm moving a little bit more to the northeast. It's headed north-northeast at about 13 miles per hour. And so it should start to curve a little more to the northeast as we go through the late morning hours, and that will bring it into the Panama City area early this afternoon. After that, the storm will move on through north and northeast of Panama City and then go into Georgia, and continue through Georgia and into the Carolinas on Friday, and then eventually out to the Atlantic. A lot of rain associated with this, and particularly in the Panama City area, where we could see double-digit rainfall totals, 10 to 12 inches. And then it'll spread rains of 5 to 8 inches on up through central Georgia and into the Carolinas. Oh. As far as we're concerned, the hurricane force winds will extend to the west as far as Okaloosa County and then to the east near Tallahassee. Tropical storm winds will affect the Pensacola area, and we may see some gusts in our area as well as in Baldwin County and Mobile County. Those gusts could get up to around 40 to 45 miles per hour times this afternoon and this evening. The winds in our area will be out of the north, and that'll, of course, push water away from the coast. That's a help. We're on what we call the good side of the storm. We will still see some rain bands, so that we may expect 1 to 2 inches of rain, maybe a little bit more than that possible. And then, of course, eastward, the rain totals will increase rather rapidly. Most of the time, the winds this afternoon, this evening, will be out of the north at around 20 to 25. But as I mentioned, gusts could get up to around 40 to 45 at times.
Yeah, Dr. Bill, you mentioned, you know, talk about the wind speed of Michael. Sometimes it helps people to talk more about what's it like, right? So compare, when you start talking 140 mile per hour winds, what storm that we're familiar with is that like?
Those people who are listening in the Baldwin County area will remember Hurricane Ivan back in 2004, and the storm is a little bit stronger than Ivan. And of course, Ivan did a lot of damage in eastern Baldwin County and Escambia County in Florida. The other storm here in Mobile that we could compare it to would be Frederick. Oh, that's about 40 years back now. Frederick had peak winds of 130, but there were some reports of gusts of 145 miles per hour down on Dolphin Island and the Dolphin Island Bridge. And we were in, here in Mobile, we were in the eye wall, that is the east, northeastern eye wall of Hurricane Frederick, which was the worst part of the storm. So those two storms we kind of look at to compare Michael right now. There's another storm that moved in into the Florida Panhandle, Opal, in 1995. It was almost a Category 5 out of the Gulf, but as it approached the coast, it lost intensity. So it was not as strong when it reached the Panama City area. But this one appears like it will stay strong all the way to the coast.
All right, Dr. Bill, we'll check back with you throughout the day for updates on this. But once again, thanks for putting some perspective on it for us, and we'll get the latest from you coming up shortly.
Okay, Sean.
Staff meteorologist and tropical weather expert Dr. Bill Williams checking in. And by the way, too, and this is something that I was talking with our buddy Jeff Poor about just a second ago, elevation. I put that storm surge map up on the Twitter feed a second ago to show you the predicted storm surge levels. And we're looking, I was asking Jeff more about Apalachicola since he's been there, and he was talking about the topography there. Apalachicola, 13 feet above sea level. Port St. Joe, in that area, I know a lot of people from here go to Port St. Joe, 2 feet above sea level. East Point, 7 feet above sea level. So you start talking about storm surge. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean everywhere is going to get the same amount, but if you contrast, you get a 10, 12, 13-foot storm surge to a place that the elevation of the municipality is only 13 feet. Think about what you're dealing with. So let's check in from some 80 miles to the northeast of Pettibal City and the impact zone for Hurricane Michael. It's our buddy Jeff Poor from Lanyap and Breitbart and Yellowhammer News. Hey, man.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on.
And I'm glad you're using the last of your electricity to talk to us. I appreciate that.
We got the iPad all charged up, so I could go for a little while.
Hey, so just before we get into the normal conversation here in the politics, give us your take on Tallahassee right now. How it's, did people go to panic, run from Godzilla mode? Has it been orderly? I mean, what's your take on it?
Well, we've had a couple of these quote-unquote scares over the last couple of years. In 2016 was Hurricane Hermine, which is probably the worst that Tallahassee's experienced in 30 years. That was just a Category 1 storm. I don't know, just my sense of going around town yesterday. Obviously, the water and the batteries and all the things you get to get ready for a storm like this were, picked over, and there were lines at the gas stations and people heading out of town, but you don't get a real sense of panic as you would because it seems to be a yearly routine.
And well, that's good. That's, if you don't get the panic, that is good. And we had a lot of people from the Panhandle showing up here in our neck of the woods too, so we welcome as they evacuate the Florida Panhandle. All right, I want to get into the storms of Washington and elsewhere. First of all, can we talk about this yesterday? Is it a surprise, or is it a surprise to me, the Nikki Haley stepping down? I mean, this was, something that the president said they talked about a while ago.
Well, you hear from a mixture of people that you hear both, actually. There's some people saying, well, this has been kind of in the works for 6 months now. And the reason we heard about it yesterday was because she was waiting for the Kavanaugh confirmation to conclude, and I didn't want to be that a big distraction for that. And then obviously you hear the other side that it happened suddenly. What could that be about? I'm a believer that people forget in these administrations that people come and go, and they don't stay. There were people that stayed in the Obama administration for a long time, but that's more of the exception than the rule. I think if you go look back at the Bush administration, the Clinton administration, and you would see that historically a year or two in a presidential administration is a pretty atypical lifespan.
I mean, there's no tell there. I know that so many talking heads have said, well, this is a plan for a Nikki Haley run, in a primary in 2020. But she said specifically yesterday that was not going to happen.
Right. And the one thing I would point to your listeners that this is a little bit different. It's just the way it was handled. Now, we've seen them leave the Trump administration over the last 2 years, some even in just days, but never we had a departure from the White House where you had this sort of press conference-y kind of situation where they were sitting side by side and everything seemed to be cool.
All right. So you mentioned Nikki Haley may have waited till the backside here of the Kavanaugh nomination or the Kavanaugh confirmation. What is the aftermath there? Is this now just yesterday's news and we're on to new things, or will there be any resonance from this?
Well, I do think there's a big fight about who's going to be the new UN ambassador. The two names that a lot of people are talking, well, the one big name is Dina Powell. She's kind of considered to be the quote-unquote globalist wing of the Trump administration, or she's a former Trump administration official. I don't know. I think that's the big question. Who's going to be the new UN ambassador, and what kind of role does that really play in a Trump administration? Do we continue the Make America Great Again agenda, as they like to call it? Or is this kind of a softening of that approach?
All right. What about, you know, last week we were talking about this weaponized confirmation proceeding for the Democrats against Kavanaugh. It rallied their base, but also maybe the unintended consequence. It seems like it rallied President Trump's base as well. Is that still holding true, do you think? I mean, because the midterms were less than a month away.
Yeah, well, you look at some of these Senate races, and things have tightened up in all of them. Or the Republican has just gotten such a big advantage. Heidi Heitkamp is one such example in North Dakota. But I think that race in Missouri is one to keep an eye on with Claire McCaskill and Josh Hawley. That one was supposed to be solidly McCaskill. I don't think it was a given, but she was looking pretty good up until this last week. And now it's you know, depending on what poll, it's neck and neck. Some polls even have Josh Hawley out ahead. So you can look at these Senate races across the country, and you can see that the Kavanaugh effect has had a real impact. Now the House races, we don't know. There's some weird things going on in some of these House districts. And the second thing I'd say about that is the polling in these House districts typically isn't reliable. So it's hard to quantify a real impact from the Kavanaugh hearings. But based on the Senate races, I think you could say that it's been a boost for Republicans.
Jeff, if we can back up just a few short steps, going back to the announcement of Haley stepping down, what was your first reaction when you saw that alert pop up? Because I know you have probably 1,000 news agencies, geared toward giving you those alerts. What was your first thought?
Yeah, I guess initially I thought, well, she's setting out to run for something for future political office. But then you got to remember, she came from a pretty decent place, right? Mm-hmm. Where she was before UN ambassador, where she was the governor of South Carolina. But that my initial instinct was maybe there's some turmoil there, or maybe she's getting ready to run for something in 2020.
And see, I was watching that press conference, and very interesting. She addressed that saying that no, she wasn't running. She's going to support this guy as she was next to President Trump, and then already having to dispel the rumors that perhaps Ivanka Trump could go for this role or be appointed to such a role, and Ivanka Trump having to take to Twitter saying that's I appreciate that's basically, but that's not going to be a role for me. I mean, are you at all surprised that immediately names are being tossed out there?
No, not at all. And that's the game we play. That's the Washington game. It's the perpetual revolving door and who's going to do what. So, no, I'm not surprised. And people will try to use it as some kind of hint as to what's going on with the Trump administration, who he picks, what the politics mean. I don't know if we need to really think they're playing a game of like four-dimensional chess with us here. I think things just kind of happen, and they happen, and Trump kind of does what his gut instinct tells him to do.
Hey, speaking of things that happen or don't happen, let's talk about how you see those midterm stakes right now. I mean, we've had conversations about this over the last couple months and saying, hey, this is hear people one end say it's a bloodbath for the Republicans in the House. Others say, well, they will lose the House, but it won't be a bloodbath. Some say they hold firm. I don't know if I've heard anybody say that Republicans gain seats, but how do you score that right now?
Yeah, typically you would expect a bloodbath. I think a president with such low approval numbers historically, and you're coming in that midterm after a presidential election, you would expect just, the House and the Senate to be gone. The Senate's a little different. To be fair, the Senate, the Democrats are playing defense in a lot of seats. And, if you go back, it goes back to that 2006 midterm when you had a very unpopular George Bush, and you had a bunch of Democrats win that cycle. And here we are 12 years later, we're in the second election of that cycle. So you have a lot of Democrats that won their seats back then when there was a very unpopular George Bush. The idea that the Senate was ever in play, I think this goes back to 2016 when Trump won and everybody thought Congress was going to be a big swap because of this. But I think the Senate's pretty safe for the Republicans. I don't think the House is what the Democrats could have had. I think that they've overplayed their hand. I think they way overplayed the Russia card. I think they went all in early, and they're not going to have as good a midterm election as they could have, just because of by virtue of just, I think we've had this nonstop barrage of of negative Trump, and I think people get desensitized to it, and I think because of that, they're not going to have as good of a night as they could have in next month.
Yeah, this is not even specific to what's going on here in 2018, but this is kind of a what if. This is you and I riding down the road question. If you're in the White House and you can control one, you can only control one of the bodies. You can either get the House or you can get the Senate. In other words, your party in control of that one. Which one do you pick and why?
Well, I think the House, because the Speaker of the House really is the most powerful figure at Congress.
So Ryan is more powerful than Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, because the House, I mean, they control Capitol Hill. Spending bills have to start in the House. So, yeah, I think if you had to pick the House or the Senate, you want to have the House of Representatives.
Always interesting. Y'all do what you need to do to ride this out over there. And if not, you know, where the FM Talk 106.5 studios is, y'all bring Harvey and y'all come on over, the dog, and come kick it with us.
Right, it would be the first time we've done that, right?
That's right. So y'all are welcome over here. And if people want to follow your updates, obviously, on everything political, but also if you got anything going on in Tallahassee with the storm, where do they go?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
As always, man, I appreciate it. Stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, 823 FM Talk 106.5. At Mobile Mornings, we will grab your calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, we'll be checking in with the mayor of Dauphin Island, find out what's happening on the island, as even yesterday, water was up over the west end in places. What about this morning? Winds out of the north now, so it may not be as bad. We'll find out in person with Mayor Jeff Collier coming up in just a little bit.
And I have an update for you regarding occupancy, rooms available.
All right. Room for rent.
From David Clark, CEO of Visit Mobile.
Okay, I was going to sing the song, but it's probably better for all of us that I don't. Coming right back.
Trailers for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool. Got no cigarettes.
All right, tell him, Roger. 828 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. And, of course, keeping you up to date with the latest on Hurricane Michael, now a Category 4 storm heading in to the Florida Panhandle around Panama City. More details with Dr. Bill coming up. Also, heads up here, if you've looked at your credit card statement lately, have you looked at your interest rate while you're doing it? Yikes. Yeah, that's your Halloween scare a little bit early here. You know, you actually could roll your credit card debt into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate. Yeah, the folks at Lightstream are doing this. Lightstream offering credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with autopay, lower than the average credit card interest rate, which is 18% and going up nationally. You get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and you can get your money as soon as the day you apply. And Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. By the way, Lightstream plants a tree every time they fund a loan. So it's like Arbor Day every day for the folks at Lightstream. And y'all can get a special discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name. The website, lightstream.com/Sullivan. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% autopay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, speaking of information, Kelly, you got a note here on occupancy in Mobile.
Yes. Yeah, so David Clark, CEO and president of Visit Mobile, sent me the following message: that Mobile hotels were sold out last night and are once again sold out tonight, but there is some availability tomorrow night at various hotels. So that's good news. There are attractions right now offering discounts to our evacuees who are in town: the USS Battleship Park, Bellingraph Gardens, Gulf Coast Ducks, Mobile, Carnival Museum, Fort of Colonial Mobile, Richards D.A.R. House, and the Bragg Mitchell Mansion.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 8:35 now on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now, we head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. So we're in October, and of course, that means at McConnell Automotive, you're in the midst of Oktoberfest. Tell everybody about Oktoberfest.
Well, Dalton, we're excited because this is literally the biggest sell down of a model year closeout we've ever had. And a lot of it's because I screwed up. I've got an uncle that I'm in the business with. He likes to remind me that every day. So if anybody is out there in the market for a Yukon, Dalton, let's use that as an example.
Okay.
We are giving people supplier price on these 2018s minus money, $1,000 over Kelley Blue Book trade. Literally, you can almost come in there and just name a price on a brand new Yukon. And the reason is simple. We've got all the 2019s coming in, including that brand new truck that everybody's got to go online and check out. It's the one with the fancy tailgate, and it is the new one. So, Dalton, we're giving discounts, the biggest we've ever given off of Yukons, Z71 2018 models. It's just a perfect time for somebody to check out McConnellAutomotive.com, Dalton, or go to our dealership is even better, right? Dolphin and I-65. And this Oktoberfest sell down, we're just going to let people make us an offer on any 2018 GMC.
All right, sounds great. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a great day.
We're having fun, Dalton. We appreciate it, man. Y'all stay dry.
You too. That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, getting the latest here on Hurricane Michael. If you have just waking up to this now, a Category 4 hurricane. You know, Kelly had asked Dr. Bill earlier about strengthening. I hadn't even thought about that, and Dr. Bill responded that, yeah, there could be some possible strengthening. Mm-hmm. Would it make a Category 5 before landfall? And, you know, one of the things to think about here, of course, the storm surge is a very big story. You know, we talked about those storm surge levels and the topography there on the Florida Panhandle being low, not, you know, so you have a lot of inundation, have a lot of distance that water can go in, whether it goes in on coves or just moving straight across the landscape. But also, I just keep going back to this, and this is why asking Dr. Bill for comparisons to storms. And, you know, he kind of put this like Ivan. And if you saw South Baldwin and you saw Northwest Florida, saw, you know, Pensacola after Ivan, the surge was a huge deal, but as well as just the wind. And I think back to even like Frederick for Mobile up in the city where Dolphin Island got the wind and the surge back in Frederick, but just the city and the amount of trees that came down. It had been a while since Mobile had had a direct hit from a hurricane before Frederick, so we had a lot of trees that were not wind firm. They had not been tested. And so with Governor Scott and others talking about how long it's been since there has been a hurricane hit this area of the Panhandle, that's the other story. And if you've been through the Florida Panhandle, heck, if you've driven down I-10, you know the amount of trees, how well forested it is. And I wonder what that's going to look like in, number one, just loss of timber and that stuff. But how about trees on houses, trees coasting roads? You know, as you're trying to get power crews in to restore power in places, and then you can't physically get into those places because of the trees down. And you start talking about 140-mile-per-hour winds, you're going to be in a situation like that.
And I was going to say, when we talked to him and he talked about the difference between a Category 4 and a Category 5, I mean, you're only talking about 13 to 15-mile-per-hour difference as to where we are now. Mm-hmm. That is a big deal. And I know this is the time that we talk about the evacuations and how people were supposed to leave. Now they've reached that point that you cannot go anywhere. You now have to wait it out. You've got to see what happens. And, you know, you hope that people who had to make that decision, that that was their only choice, not that they had a choice and decided, I'll just stay here and, I don't know, surf like some of these people are doing, or take our children to the beach and watch what's happening.
I'm looking at some of these sustained winds from past hurricanes. Mm-hmm. Florence, it got up to 140. Jose was up to 155, but that kind of, you know, squirreled around up near the East Coast and didn't really hit land very hard. But Harvey, that was a 130. And you just think of Florence and Harvey. Those are two storms that really did a lot of damage.
And this is over 140 right now. I want to talk to my friend and Mayor of Dolphin Island, Jeff Collier, about this because thank goodness it's not in your backyard, Mayor, but you're still getting some impacts on the island from this.
Yeah, we are. Considerable impacts. In fact, I'm sitting in the back of a Humvee again on the west end. I've been doing that too much lately.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I was looking yesterday, pictures people were sending me, you know, the water seemed to be maybe 3 feet or so above normal places like Dog River, Fowl River, some places in South Mobile County and South Baldwin. Did you get inundation of the west end yesterday, and what are you looking at this morning?
Yeah, well, we're almost to the west end beach. In fact, we had to turn around because it looked too treacherous to go farther. And so we've had as much as 2 to 3 feet of sand, water over Bienville Boulevard for a long duration, starting actually day before yesterday. And so that has put, in some places, 2 to 3 feet of sand over Bienville Boulevard and certainly all the side streets. So we've got some big-time cleanup to do again.
And that's sand that it was coming off the beach in front of it, right to the south, that was in front of houses, is now behind them.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what happens. You know, as the wave action and the tides come up, it picks up the sand and just pushes it inland in this case and up onto the roadways where we don't need it. And so comparing to Gordon just a few weeks ago, it's much worse. Those conditions are much worse this time than they were then. And so, looking at homes, I don't see a lot of structural damage. There's, you know, a lot of steps and things like that that get washed out by the wave action at ground level. Probably some water and sewer connects that have been ripped apart. And so, just kind of same old, unfortunately.
Wow. And this is a storm. I mean, this is what's significant about it is we're not talking about something that, you know, like the last time is skirting the edge of Dauphin Island. We're talking about something that is a long way away down the coast to the east.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, what's really sad, Sean, is that we actually had flooding start when the storm was down around Cancun. So again,
whoa.
Yeah, I'm
really
honest. And yeah, I mean, you're just talking the fragile nature of this barrier island now that has been beaten, battered, you know, over the years with storms and erosion and things like that, that has really rendered it very fragile these days. So, you know, any kind of a storm anywhere in the Gulf, and we're having these kind of impacts.
Wow. From when the storm was the whole way down there, and you said 2 to 3 feet of water covering areas of Bienville, and that's been going on for at least 24 hours.
Yes, that's correct. And because of the duration, I'm thinking that's the difference between Gordon and this one, is the fact that even though Gordon, of course, made pretty much a direct hit, we've had more of a duration with this storm than we did with Gordon, so we've had more time for sand and debris to sort of pile up, and that's what's happening now.
What are water levels affecting anywhere else towards the center or the east end of the island, and are they affecting the causeway connecting the island there to Alabama Port?
Well, the causeway has been open the whole time. We've been getting a little bit of water splashing over and things of that nature, but not any type of closure. We have had, you know, quarter water over the roads down around Billy Go Hole. I was riding around about midnight last night. We had water coming over by the airport area. So all of those Back Bay areas, Salt Creek, those areas experienced some flooding at all, but I don't think we really had much any damage in those areas. That's just the gradual rise and fall of tide. Of course, when you get down to the west end, you get, I'm looking at waves right now, probably 10 feet tall.
Wow.
In the Gulf, crashing ashore here. So still pretty big waves.
Yeah, that's just churning that sand and making it move to the north. Mayor, what are you telling residents, vacationers, anything, any kind of notices, or is all per normal?
Well, you know, we actually have folks on the west end, you know, vacationers and all. We try to get them to move vehicles. I actually have seen a few vehicles still down here, which is unfortunate. One was stranded in the middle of Bienville Boulevard. You know, lots of trash cans strewn everywhere. So, you know, we didn't quite, I guess, push this thing as much as I should have this time, as much as we did for Gordon. People, I think we were more prepared for Gordon.
Cause well, Gordon was coming
harder.
Here. I'm going to cut you slack. Gordon was coming here. This is a hurricane that's going into Panama City. I mean, I'm going to cut you slack on that.
Yeah, well, I know, but I should know better. I've been around here a long time, and I kind of know what goes on. And, you know, you don't want to be, you know, painted as somebody who's going to panic everybody and all this. But you try to give people good information, and hopefully they can make informed decisions. And I'm just saying, you know, at the end of the day, we could have done better this time as a whole. And it's a lesson learned.
All right. Well, we will be watching it, getting updates from you throughout the day down there from Dauphin Island. Mayor Collier, thanks for checking in. Thanks for what you're doing.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right. Mayor Jeff Collier, checking in from down on Dauphin Island. We'll grab some phone calls next at 343-0106. They have been getting water, getting inundation from the beginning of this week, if not earlier.
Do you know he just gained more fans when he said he wishes he could have done more?
He's
How
cool.
do you not love
he's,
that man?
Yeah, he's a cool dude, man. He's a cool
Jeff
dude.
Collier. Oh, yeah.
Right, 850 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. which, by the way, you know, just this is one of those warnings. Storm not really affecting us, other than, I mean, we'll get some gusts, 40 to 45 today, and 1 to 2 inches of rain. But if you have a bunch of stuff in the yard, and it could possibly become a projectile if a storm would come our way, that may be one of the reasons you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You know, if you've got the child swing set and playhouse in the backyard and your youngest child is in graduate school, I'm not here to judge. I'm just suggesting maybe time to get that junk gone. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They could do it very quickly. They do it at your office. They could do it at a house you're getting ready to sell. They could do it at, you know, outside in the yard, inside the house. You got junk, you want it gone. You need the pros. You need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's that simple. Pick up the phone, call that number, or go online and check them out at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right. We'll grab some phone calls here. And Jeff in Mobile is up next. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how are y'all today?
Doing good.
Hey, good morning.
First time caller. I just
welcome.
Give a shout. I listen to you all the time.
Well, thank you.
I've got four spaces for campers that has power and water. Didn't know if somebody from Florida was coming this way and needed it.
How sweet.
Now, if they have their own power and own water, I got plenty of area that they can park. Mm-hmm. So
you're in Mobile County?
I'm actually in Sims.
In Sims, okay.
Yeah, just right off the House Ferry area, House Ferry Road.
Okay.
And then I've got a mobile home park out off Blackwell Nursery Road that's got two spaces with power, water, and sewage. But they can actually park more people on those lots, you know, if they don't need power or water.
That's great, because I have seen video, watching the traffic video yesterday, people that were coming westbound on I-10 that did have their campers hooked up as they were, you know, heading out. So I tell you what we're going to do, Jeff. That's a heck of an offer. I'm going to put you on hold, and Philip in the control center there is going to get your contact information, and then we're going to put some things out through social media. So if there are people from Florida that are looking for a place to stay, I can get them in touch with you.
Fantastic. That'll work.
Hey, Jeff, thank you. Thank you very much. Hold on, and we're going to get your contact info.
That's great.
You know,
we have the best listeners.
Yeah, we do. Good people. You got good folks.
I do want to say, because you mentioned items in the yard and, you know, what's going on here.
Yes.
There is a Twitter handle. It's called Disaster Distress. So here's the handle, @distress. LINE, and it says, feeling anxious or overwhelmed about Hurricane Michael? You can call 1-800-985-5990 or text Talk With Us to 66746 for emotional support. We're here for you. #Florida.
Now, really?
Really? I'm really serious. No, because
in the aftermath, I get it.
Well,
you know, in the aftermath, when people are dealing with, I mean, I remember what folks dealt with in the Mississippi Gulf Coast after losing their homes to Katrina and all that. I get that. But beforehand, ain't nobody got time for...
That's why they say, are you feeling anxious or emotional? And the deal is, they didn't put in a time slot, like, don't call between these hours. That number is available, 1-800... You're so bad. 1-800-985-5990. I'm in the information-giving business, so
yes.
I'm going to... If I can just touch one person and give them information that they didn't have before today, then I've done my job.
Yeah, and you have to push through the defensive line that is... That's
known as Sullivan.
Yeah, right.
I got something for that.
Okay. Well, I've got something for you as well. You ready?
Okay.
You ready?
Go.
So, we've talked about emotional support animals on this show many times.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Stories of people traveling with animals. And we even had a story a couple months ago. A person had an emotional support animal that had its own emotional support animal with it. You remember
that's
that?
Right.
It was
the
like
dog
a dog
and a monkey.
Yeah.
And we couldn't figure out which one was which.
Right. So, that was probably the biggest of the emotional support stories, but we've gotten these discussions. What kind of critter would qualify as, like, you know, could you have an emotional support scorpion? You know, I would say no. You know, a dog is the whole way on yes. Scorpion to me is no.
Well, there was also the emotional support hamster.
Okay, yes, who had to get flushed down the toilet.
That's correct.
That one was of question, but this one, emotional support squirrel. As passenger removed from Frontier Airline flight. A woman was removed from Frontier Airlines flight last night after the airline refused to let her fly with her emotional support squirrel.
Oh, man.
The airline said the woman noted in her reservation for flight 1612 from Orlando to Cleveland, she'd be boarding with an emotional support animal. They just didn't specify. But she never did indicate the animal was a squirrel. The airline said they added that rodents, including squirrels, are not allowed on its flights. What was the old Snoopy thing? No dogs allowed.
You actually
no squirrels
have to put
allowed.
That in print. That
you do in today's world. Yes, specific. Yes, you do in today's world. I'm with you, but you do.
So common sense is just out the door, out the
absolutely.
Window.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. 100% in agreement there. Okay. Beginning on November 1st, Frontier says they will only allow dogs and cats on flights. So no monkeys, no hamsters, no scorpions, no miniature ponies.
Parakeets.
I was just going to say, no, because that thing will be talking the entire time.
And doing the other thing they do.
Yep.
Right there on the seat back.
Right there.
The passenger was told of the airline policy and refused to leave the plane when asked. So how does this work? Orlando police were called, and everyone was told to get off the plane, or as they say, deplane.
Because of?
The woman and her squirrel.
Did the squirrel have a name?
I wondered if it was right. It has not been detailed if it was Rocky the squirrel or not.
Because did she tell the squirrel, you know what, go into attack mode, do plan A that we practice. We're not getting off this plane. So you go left, I go right.
That's their resting level. I'm just picturing the squirrel from Christmas Vacation that's, you know, in the tree. The woman escorted off the plane. Mm-hmm. Goes on in the story from Fox News to say some airlines have cracked down on what animals qualify as emotional support pets. In January, Delta said they would thoroughly vet passenger efforts to fly with various types of animals. Customers have attempted to fly with, y'all ready? Here's the list coming from Delta. That would be comfort turkeys.
No.
Aww.
Gliding possums, known as sugar gliders. And I just always call them sugar gliders or flying squirrels.
I didn't know they were possums.
Snakes, spiders, and more.
Ugh.
In comparison to dogs and cats, emotional support squirrels have not gotten the same level of acceptance.
I tell you, anyone who tries to do that, and if they're on a plane with my mother, they'd never do that again.
If my dog were on the plane, that squirrel wouldn't have lasted 5 seconds.
Well, that's all we need.
Hate squirrels.
That's all we need is we need a situation where somebody has emotional support squirrel on the plane.
And
the other
anxiety.
Person has emotional support dog on the plane. Dog sees squirrel, as they used to say, hijinks ensue.
Yeah. So what was the big giveaway? Is it when they were doing the beverage service and they had the peanuts?
That's great.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So there you go. So there's the emotional support squirrel in the news.
I'm ready for a pilot to try to bring on an emotional support animal and see that argument go down. Like have
everything
a pilot
will be
with
fine
an
up here. Yeah, everything will be fine up here. they're good around the controls.
Uh-huh.
We just go put it on autopilot and we'll be just fine.
We have lost our minds. I just want to put that out there.
Emotional support squirrel. And I'm ready to open the text line and email and see all the people that had stories about having pet squirrels when they're young. I know. Somebody down the street from me did. I even, for like a limited time for a day or something, I don't remember how long I had the flying squirrel, mm-hmm. the sugar glider, before I was told that that wouldn't happen in my parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kids having pets.
Right.
Taking them on the airplane.
Different story.
I would say it might be.
I tell you what, those squirrels in Bienville Square, they are no joke.
Yeah, well, they're the best-fed squirrels on planet Earth.
I know. They could be doing weightlifting contests over there. I mean, they're so strong, and they're so big, and they're so friendly, and they want your lunch now.
Right, yeah, they're friendly. They're friendly until you don't have something for them.
Then run, watch out. Squirrel, run!
Jugular. Laura Ingram Show on the way next. Be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Y'all have a great one. Check us out online, fmtalk1065.com.